This is Kent Porter, and the topic is The Competent Tyrant. I want to expand this topic to include all those who should have a chance to change their behavior and save their jobs. This may include you. Let me start with the competent tyrant. This is the person who excels in their field. They might be the international tax expert, or the top salesperson, or the savviest person in IT, or the most adroit at managing the boss, or perhaps they're in tight with a key account, and so on. You probably know one or two. Often they know how valued they are because of the special treatment they receive. The rules do not apply to them, or at least not in the same way they apply to others. Often they have been exceptional from an early age. They may have been spoiled. After all, one makes exceptions for the exceptional. Think about this. Special treatment denied them the bumps and scrapes and criticism most received, or at least most of us received. However, in their case, these life experiences were denied, and therefore they were slow in developing interpersonal skills and emotional intelligence. What I hear from bosses, and I quote, "Kent, we can't live with them, and we can't live without them. They perform, but," and this is a big but, "they have gone too far, and there is chaos and conflict. I'm between a rock and a hard place, but I have to do something." I then ask the boss if they are prepared to lose the employee in order to save them. This usually causes the person to stop and think. The point being, if you don't establish firm boundaries and consequences with a competent tyrant, they will not take this situation seriously. The boss must deliver the message in a way the competent tyrant, parentheses, other employee, knows exactly the behaviors that are causing the problem. Then they need to know the desired behaviors that you want to see, the amount of time that they're going to have to change the behaviors, and a plan for the behaviors to be changed, and potentially the consequences, that is both positive and negative consequences if they don't change. It is best to script this difficult conversation and then practice it. Here is an example. "Jake, you've been with us for 18 months and have reached or exceeded your goals. Achieving your goals is the good news, and it's also the bad news. The good news is hitting your goals, but what isn't obvious is the collateral damage your behavior has caused in achieving these goals." The news of collateral damage may come as a surprise to you. The reason for the surprise is that I'm part of the problem because I haven't kept you informed. Here are three ways that I've been the problem and three ways that I'm going to become the solution. First, when others have come to me to complain about your behavior, I've listened to them and by my silence implied I'd take care of it. I either forgot to talk to you, or what is more likely is I avoided you because I'm not good at having difficult conversations. As of today and going forward, I'm insisting the complaining party come to you and explain the impact your behavior has had on them. I'll tell them that you can't change if they don't tell you about the problem. Secondly, I am guilty as the others, or I'm as guilty as the others of not letting you read my mind when your behavior has upset me. When I have given you feedback, I haven't been specific and I've sugarcoated it. As of today and going forward, I'll be specific and give you the impact your behavior has on me. I'll give you feedback in the moment. I'll not wait. If others are in the room, I may comment in the moment. The reason I would comment is that I think you're derailing the meeting. Otherwise, I'll have a conversation with you after the meeting is over. Let me get back to my third point. Thirdly, there has been too much emphasis on results and not enough emphasis on how you get results. As of today and going forward, you will work on showing people more respect. If you wonder what respect looks like, think of the golden rule and use that as your guide. Let me add a point, and I'm a little apprehensive to bring this up now because I want this conversation to focus on you. So this comment, I'd like to have you put it in a bubble and suspend it above our conversation. In this bubble is the fact that you're not the only one that can improve. I must improve in having difficult conversations, and others in the team can improve as well. Don't hear this as that is that Jake that you're off the hook. Hear this is that you are responsible for your behaviors, but you're not alone in this process. Now the role play ends here, and that is the first part of the conversation. Obviously, there's going to be pushback and give and take in this conversation. A key point is to look at your mindset, a mindset that will be a win-win. Your mindset is that you value the person, you want this person to continue in the job, and that you want them to improve their people skills in order to build and maintain good relationships. And that if they do this, they will have the job and they can continue in the job. But if they choose to continue down their current path and not change, then they are telling you, the boss, that you, the boss, need to consider other options as to who will be filling this job. Assuming they are on board and want to change, the next step is a development plan that spells out the gap between poor behaviors and desired behaviors. Include how the behaviors will be measured and the consequences for not closing the gap. Here is a quick example of a start of a development plan. I won't cover all the steps that is in the written information. The hypothetical first goal. I will improve communications between my function and other functions. Specifically, I will ask more questions and make fewer absolute statements. I will propose an idea and then ask others how it can be improved and how it will impact their areas. I commit to controlling any emotional outbursts and realize the impact. This impact intimidates others and stops honest interaction. I will watch my body language. For example, I will not roll my eyes in meetings, nor will I point my finger at others. I will get to know each member of the team by having one-on-one meetings with them at least monthly, and also I will go to lunch with each individual at least monthly. There are barriers to my achieving these goals. The barriers that I recognize is, or are, that I have a need to be recognized and be the center of attention, that I have a big ego. I do not put myself in the shoes of others. I am totally self-focused and rarely other-focused. Another barrier is results are everything to me. I'm not practiced in exerting self-control. My behavior, to this point, has got me to this point, so why should I change it? A question I've asked myself in this development plan is, how will I know how I'm doing? The answer is, I will pick three people who will observe me. I will tell them the old behaviors I want to change and ask them to comment on when I'm slipping back into the old behavior, as well as comment on when I'm exemplifying the new behavior. I will give them specific examples of the old and the new. I'm not naive, however. They will pretend to go along and give me feedback, so I'm going to need coaching on how to coax the feedback out of them. But I recognize it's worth the effort, because if I succeed, I'll keep my job. And then, if they will cooperate, and if I can coax the information out of them, I will have a continuous quality control loop. Instead of this being a New Year's resolution about change, I will be able to keep change alive. There is more to this development plan, so please look at the written materials. I want to end this podcast by sharing some real life observations and concerns. We are way too quick to write people off. We are more often than not the problem. How are we the problems? Because we don't tell them in a way they can hear how their behavior impacts us. Why not? We fear conflict. We don't do difficult conversations well. My reaction to this is, I understand. But if you want solid relationships with others, including family and friends, then learn new skills. Learn how to be honest and give people feedback. There's way too much at stake to avoid this. Ask yourself, would you like to know how you are being a negative impact on others? Would you rather walk in the light, that is, hearing about your blind spots, or would you like to stumble in the shadows and perhaps eventually be asked to leave the company or have a personal relationship end? Oh, and by the way, when and if you're asked to leave a company, you will not be told the truth about your behavior, because they don't deal well with difficult conversations or have the skills to deliver the message in a way you can hear it. The shame, of course, is if you don't know the problem, you can't change it in the next job, and perhaps the cycle will be repeated again. Finally, we are way too quick to give up on ourselves. We can change. We can grow. I've seen it. Consider using some or all the tools available at this site to invest in you and your growth. Please visit www.porterleadership.com for tools on how to improve you and your team.